Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Saints of the Most High, I think this might be the final part, but we might get another one. Who knows? But at this point, we're in part 7 of this Holy Spirit series. There's so much information, and I'm trying to get it all in there. But today's message is going to be entitled, Hearing the Voice of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Many of you that keep saying, I don't know what my call is. I don't know what God is saying. I don't know if he's speaking to me. I don't know if he's answering my prayers. I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know what to do. Well, I think today some of those questions are going to be answered for you. Glory to God. We're going to be reading this morning from the book of John. John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. If you have it, say amen. Praise God. John chapter 10, starting at verse number 3, and the word of the Lord says, To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Glory to God. Saints of God, you may take your seats this morning in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. Oftentimes when you speak about the Holy Spirit, it gets weird for some people because some people just don't understand the spirit realm. They don't understand spiritual matters. They don't understand supernatural. There are others that are so stuck in the logos, stuck in just the regular routines of Christianity, that the spirit realm becomes a foreign domain. And a lot of times people think it's weird. Once you start talking about hearing the voice of God and hearing his spirit and his witness and all the, you know, it starts to seem weird for some. I'm telling you today, this is not weird. This is the Lord's word. I'm trying to keep it 100 today. Praise God. There's so many wackadoodle stuff. If you do some research, there's all kinds of craziness out there. But what I'm going to give you is scriptural. Everything I say today, there's going to be scripture to back up what I'm saying. So if you're taking scrupulous notes, I challenge you to just write down the addresses and then take this back home and study it and verify the word and let it be planted in your heart, because I believe this is going to change your walk. It's going to make your life an adventure with the Holy Spirit of God, rather than a question mark. I don't know how to hear from him. I don't know what to do. If you apply yourself, I promise you will begin to hear more clearly in the spirit realm than ever before. Amen? So it's not weird. Relax. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number one, do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit of God? Whose voice are you tuned into? Whose voice do you follow? Whose voice do you obey? Whose voice can you hear? We read right at the very beginning, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. They follow me. I know them by name and I call out to them and they follow me. But a stranger, they will not hear, and they flee away from the stranger. I wish and pray, I hope and pray that many believers in this room flee away from the voice of strangers. There's so much curiosity. There's so much speculation. There are so many Christians reading the Apocryphas and different books, and they're trying to get into a deeper level of consciousness. And some are even saying they're nirvanas and all this crazy, crazy stuff. That stuff is weird. That stuff is crazy. But they follow different voices, and as soon as some social media guru, somebody says something, you start flipping through and you start getting distracted. The truth of the matter is that the sad truth is many Christians, literally today, do not know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Many do not know the voice, don't know how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And I'll even say this, they don't want to learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. There are some Christians that can't distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit over their own conscience, their own intellect, or even their own emotions. Right. I'm going to give you plenty of ways how you can discern and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today. I got to begin by saying the most obvious point. Today, you must decide. I have to make a clear assertion. You have to decide that you want to hear his voice. The spirit realm is a deep place, deep waters. Hallelujah. Every Christian must choose to jump in to the deep waters in the realm of the spirit. Many people want the deepness, the depth of God, the deep waters of God. They want to walk in partnership with God and relationship with God. They want their life to be an adventure, but they don't want to walk off the plank and jump in. You have to decide. Others are just satisfied and simply content being part of the kingdom of God. They're satisfied with salvation. Hey, I got my ticket. I've got my boarding pass. I'm good. I read the word. I feel good. I go to church on Sunday. I feel good. I give a tithe. I give an offering. I feel good. I did my part, and I'm happy. I don't want to go too deep because then it gets a little crazy for me. I don't want to go too deep because then it's going to cost me some time. I don't want to go too deep because then I have to go to prayer meetings. I don't want to get too deep because then it's going to require me to fast and to pray. I don't want to get too deep because then I got to raise up holy hands and worship the living God like I mean it. Hallelujah. I don't want to go too deep because it's going to cost me more than I'm ready to give. I don't want to go too deep because that means I'm going to have to serve more. Ooh. I don't want to go too deep because ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Can't nobody tell. I'm the boss of me. Little kids say that. Listen, I got to keep it real. If there is more for me, I want it all. I don't want some, and I don't want just a little bit, and I don't want it in stages. Give it to me. Listen, if I'm on a team, I don't want to be the water boy. If I'm on a team, I don't want to be the towel boy. Put me in, coach. I want to be in the game. Put me in the game. I want to fight. I want to compete. I want to do what you put me on earth to do. I want to open up my mouth. I want to serve. I want to help the team win the game. I want to do great things for God. He said, the things you see me do, greater things will you do. I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that does great things for God. I don't want to just be a sitting saint. I didn't come to church to sit on a wooden chair. We used to have cushions when we had our church. And people would come to church and do this. Because it was so comfortable. And there are others that lean on each other. Put your head on my shoulder. They're like, okay. And then they'll do this. Listen, there are people dying. There are people going to hell. There are people suffering with diseases. There are people dying of cancers, leukemias, brain tumors, aneurysms, blood clots. There's now with all these shots, myocarditis, and all kinds of other ailments and issues. And we're sitting here comfortable in a chair. Jesus didn't go to the cross so we could be comfortable in a chair. Put me in, coach. Put me in the game, Lord. To hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, here it comes. I'm going to get in some people's Kool-Aid right now. Hallelujah. In order to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, in order to discern the voice of God, we have to begin with the spiritual disciplines that are not only required, but it's part of our life. It should be part of the life of every believer. It should be part of our routine. It should not be a job. It should be a loving thing to do because we're connecting with the Father. If we don't have a prayer life, if there is no Bible study, if there's no fasting, if there's no active life of worship, if there's no evangelism, if there's no devotional life, I'm telling you the truth, you're going to have great difficulty hearing the voice of God. It's going to be very difficult for you to jump in to the deep waters of the Spirit when you don't really operate in the Spirit. You're going to have great difficulty hearing the Holy Spirit. You're going to have great difficulty seeing the move of God. You're going to have great difficulty even being aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. How can you fall in love with Jesus and not even know him? So many people come to Christ because they get some goosebumps. They're sitting in a chair and the pastor's preaching. And by the end of the service, the altar call, the appeal comes. And they get these little goosebumps. And they say, oh my God, I've never felt that before. And they raise their hand and they pray a prayer and think that's it. But they don't read the word. They don't study the word. They don't spend time with God. They don't pray. And you know what? I shame no one. The new believers, it's not your fault. It's the Amen. Body of Christ. Amen. It's those of us yeah. who have it. Those of us who've been operating Go in it. There. Those of us that are mature. Shame on us. Because we are so busy with ministry that we forget ministry. Amen. We're like the Levite. And the rabbi that were on their way to synagogue. And a guy beaten up, bruised and battered and bloody. And we just walk around. Walk on by. Bup, 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 bup. Walk on by. And shame on us when a new convert who has a genuine desire to know Jesus. What is it going to cost you? What is it going to cost you to go up to a person and say, hey, man, I just want to congratulate you. I'm going to come to my wife so that nobody gets offended. I'm so happy for your decision to follow Christ. This is wonderful. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that comes to Christ. Man, there's a party going on and you're the guest of honor. Praise God. I'm so happy. But here, before you go out that door, make sure you understand, all hell's going to seem to break loose on you. But when it happens, don't worry. You got power. You got authority. You're in the right place. You're going to be victorious. But I want to give you my number. I want to help you. I want to pray with you. I want to study the word of God with you. I want to help you get resources into your hands. I want you to know you can call me. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. You can call me anytime. You're going to have questions, and I don't want you to feel abandoned or like an orphan. When the Lord said, I will not leave you as widows or orphans, but we leave our brethren like widows or orphans? Unacceptable. What does it cost to spend 20 minutes with somebody and pray with them on the phone? It's free. But you know how many people need that from a brother or a sister? A lot of times we give them a Bible and we go, well done, good job, peace out. And we walk away. And then when the trials come, And they start struggling, and they pick up the phone, and nobody's there. They don't even have a phone number to call. It's a sad commentary. We've got to be able to know the heart of God. How do you know his heart? By reading his word. How do you know his heart for you? How would you know his plans, his purposes, his promises for your life? How would you know the extent of his love, what he did for you? How would you know the inheritance that belongs to you now as a believer, as a child of God? The Bible says you're a joint heir. You're a king's kid. You're a priest of God. You're an ambassador of heaven. You're an overcomer. You're blood brought. Hallelujah. You can do all things. How would you know that if someone isn't sharing with you, if you're not reading it for yourself? Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. It's never flesh. I'll read this over and over again until we get it in our memory bank. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I'll take it a little bit deeper. Yes, a carnal Christian cannot be tuned in to the spirit realm. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not how it works, Papa. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You could get mad at me, but I'm telling you the truth. Carnal Christianity. You can't have a false spirit in your hand on Saturday night going, yo, yo, tear the roof up, tear the roof up, yo, yo. You can't have a false spirit inside of you on Saturday night and then the Holy Spirit in you on Sunday morning. Doesn't work like that. Didn't we talk last week? Do not get drunk with wine, which is an excess within dissipation, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, now you're sensitive to the spirit realm. When you're filled with the false spirit, now you're sensitive to the earth realm, right, to the natural realm. Right. You're sensitive now to the things outside the kingdom. Right. And then you wonder why you have no access in the spiritual kingdom is because you're in the wrong kingdom. Hey. I know it's going to get hot. It's hot. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you cannot continue in the same things that you came to the altar for. Right. Amen. If God has set you free, then you are free indeed. You are not under the law anymore. You're not under the bondage of the flesh. But you must operate. You must start to live in the Spirit. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Here's the caveat. If. You see, we read that word if, and we just keep going. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. It's simple. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, 24 through 25. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, the problem is we don't want to crucify the flesh, and that's why the flesh is always controlling the realm of the Spirit. And that's why when you're still carnal in your Christianity, that's when someone says to you, let's do a Bible study, or let's have a prayer meeting, or let's worship. I ain't nobody got time for that. That's flesh. When someone cuts you off in the highway, rip, you erupt. Meanwhile, you got an ichthus, a little fish sticker in the back of your car. And you're over here flipping the bird at a person and cursing them out. But you got a fish in the back of your trunk. Flesh. That's when you have a prayer request. Sister, brother, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Oh, yes, hallelujah. I pray for you, absolutely. Heavenly Father, pray, 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 pray. As soon as you go click, you go. Yo, you ain't gonna guess what happened. You are not gonna believe this. Flesh.
That's right.
Help us, oh God, when we disguise prayer requests for gossip. Help us, oh God. Lord Jesus, have mercy on your body, oh God. Listen, if you don't have your spiritual disciplines in order, if you don't have spiritual understanding, I'll even take it further. If you're not in spiritual alignment, we've been talking about this for years in this house, spiritual alignment, husband, wife, children, a job, then ministry, then church, right? There's an order, spiritual alignment. If you're not in order, then you're going to be tone deaf to the things of the Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit, and I think probably Sister India is probably going to be one of the most that understands this more than anybody in the room. You can teach people how to sing, but you can't teach people tonality. You either have it or you don't have it. There are some people that do not have the right tone. This is why the show American Idol, people just love to see it just to laugh at people. Because you know what? Somebody that loves them said, girl, you can sing. Bro, you got a voice. And they just egg them on so they can sign up for American Idol and be the laughingstock in America. And they go out there trying to sing their heart out, but they got no tonality. If you can't sing in pitch, it's kind of hard to know pitch and tone. You could teach singing. Vibratos, crescendos, you could teach all that, you know, but you can't teach tone. You either have it or you don't. There are some Christians that don't have it in the spirit. Just like a singer or a musician can hear a pitch that, listen, do you know, you don't even have to be a professional. You ever hear a song and somebody singing next to you, you go, ooh, that did not, ooh. Am I telling the truth? You're not even a professional, but your ear don't lie. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Your ear says something's off. That ain't right. Why? Because your ear can hear it. You know something's off. The same thing in the spirit. Just like your nose knows. If somebody walks by, you say, "Fo, that's nasty, bro." Right? Just like your nose knows. You can't fake it. You can't fake the funk. If it's funky, you know it's funky. You may not know where it came from. That's why your nose starts going. You try to detect, where did it come from? Who did that? That's nasty. All right, maybe I'm going a little too deep there. My wife is about, she's about to say, TMI. But in the spirit, listen, don't the demons know too?
Yes.
Say, Peter and John, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? You see, when you have a relationship with God, when you're walking worthy of the call, when you have that spiritual discipline, that mindset of being a follower of Christ, and your life means nothing. Your whole life is submitted to the Lordship of God, under the control, the will of God. When you live like that, the gates of hell will never prevail against you. The demons, when they see you walking in the room, they run in terror, because they know you're full of the Spirit of the living God. And at any moment, if you discern that they're even nearby, you're going to bind them and cast them out and send them running to and fro throughout the earth. And they don't want to have no part of that. They run. Run to the hills. But some of them say, hey, bro, it's good to see you again. Are we going to your normal seat? I'll meet you right there, Bob. Come on in. And while the service is going on, they sprinkle fairy dust on you. And you're like that. Go ahead, Papi. You deserve this. You worked so hard this week. Go to sleep. Some of us get our best sleep now in the house of God. Best sleep. We don't sleep at home. We come to church, we get our best sleep ever. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual matter. This is why it's important to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Study, study, read the word. If you can't read, is reading fundamental? If you can't read, then listen to the word. There's no excuse. 1 John 5:13. It says, these things I've written to you that believe, to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Not only are you supposed to read the word, but you're supposed to know, have an assuredness of your salvation. Know who you are in Christ. Know where you stand in the kingdom. Know who you are. Know what the Bible says you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe what the Bible says you are? That you can do all things that he says you can do? Do you believe you have access to the throne room, the very throne room of God? Do you believe you could overcome not just some, but all the works of the enemy? If so, then you're ready to hear and obey the voice, the promptings and nudgings of the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm going to try to go through these points quickly this morning, but I'm going to go through them indeed. Number one, the Holy Spirit speaks always in line with God's holy word. This is why it is important to read. It's important to get into the book. Praise God. So many people want others to read it to them, but they won't read it for themselves. I challenge you. If it's even a chapter a day, I'm not a big fan of the Bible in a year. I think it's a great idea for some, but 90% of the people, they're going to drop out of it in a week. Because once you miss the prescribed scriptures, you're going to say, oh, man, I failed. And then the next day, you got to read 10 more chapters. And if you miss it for the weekend, you got to read 30 chapters. Who's going to read? Sit down and read 30 chapters. I'd rather you take 10 years to read the whole Bible. Read a verse, read a chapter, read two chapters today and meditate on them. Amen. You'll get more meat from that than trying to cram in 15, 20 chapters in a day and say, I did it, check. There are people that come to me and say, man, I've read the Bible 3 times from cover to cover. Bro, and you still are not saved? You still don't know Jesus? You're reading the Quran now and you're reading Talmud and reading all these other books? Do you have reading comprehension issues? Jesus is from cover to cover. This is why you can't read the Bible like it's just some book. It's spiritual. It's life. It's alive. You've got to be in the spirit. You got to pray, God, open up my heart, my mind, my spirit, so that the word will be fruitful to me, that I would understand it, that it would be planted in my heart. Glory to God. Listen, the Holy Spirit will always speak in line with the word. If you don't know the word, it's going to be hard for you to hear the word. Even Jesus spoke as directed. He only spoke the word of the Father. Listen to this in John 12:49-50. These are Jesus' words. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. That right there is the standard of God. He will only speak as directed by the Father. At the trial, like a lamb led to the slaughter, is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Listen, if the Father didn't give him anything to say, then he's not going to say nothing. And when he stood before his accusers, when they were whipping him, when they were flogging him, he opened not his mouth. He knew the will of the Father. Jesus never tried to defend himself. He only spoke as directed by the Father. The Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. And likewise, glory to God. He will always point you to Jesus Christ. He will always speak in line with God's word. That's why it is so important when we tell you week after week after week, month after month, year after year, read the word of God. John 15, 26, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. Did not Jesus say he was truth? It's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. That means he too is going to speak about Christ, the words of Christ. He is going to point you to Christ. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Again, speaking in line with the word of Christ, pointing to Jesus and giving us Jesus' own words. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to remind you of the word of God. Sometimes, praise God, you'll be sitting talking to somebody and you're ministering to them, and all of a sudden, boop, a verse pops in your spirit. How many times has that happened to somebody? Those of you who are actually sharing your faith, how many times has that happened? Where you're speaking to someone, sharing, you might just be having lunch, and all of a sudden, boom, a word comes. You say, that's strange. Why am I thinking that? All of a sudden, the person begins to speak, and you go, oh, here we go. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. You just prep me, Lord. You're my GPS. You're my navigation system. You're my alert system. Hallelujah. And now the person, the Lord said, boom, 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 boom. It's wonderful. When you experience that, when God uses you like that, when you experience that, it's, you'll never be the same. And you'll go back home on your face before God. Thank you, Lord, for using me today. Thank you, Lord. That was awesome. What a powerful day that was. Glory to God. It's powerful. John 14, 6, like I said earlier, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Remember, he's part of the Godhead, the Trinity. John 14, 16 through 17, and Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Glory to God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Praise God. The Holy Spirit will only ever speak truth because he is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will never violate the perfect word of God. The Holy Spirit will always speak in perfect unity with the Father and with the Son. I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. The voice of the Holy Spirit is not your voice. He doesn't sound like you and he doesn't speak like you. The voice that sounds like you, that's your conscience. The Holy Spirit is holy. I've heard Christians say, oh, yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to you like you're speaking to yourself. It's your voice. That's not true. He's holy. The Holy Spirit speaks with authority and with certainty. And when he speaks, he doesn't make mistakes. The Holy Spirit will never control you and will never control other people. He honors freedom. He will always give you the ability to choose the right path. He is always kind. He is always generous. That is his nature. He's good. Praise God. The Holy Spirit loves you unconditionally. Praise God. The Holy Spirit will always bear witness with your spirit. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Sometimes you might hear it referred to as an inner witness. When the Holy Spirit bears witness, it gives you an inner witness of the presence of God. Now, this is not getting weird, but just listen here. When you hear the voice of the Spirit of God in your witness, in your inner witness, in your spirit, you'll begin to gain confidence in hearing the voice of God. You'll begin to doubt less and trust more. You'll gain strength of conviction through the inner witness that he's sharing in your heart. He's going to start putting things. You know the Word of God says you shouldn't do that. You know God's Word says you shouldn't go there. You know God's Word says that doesn't please the Lord. You begin to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is why when people get saved and they try to go back to the club or back to the stuff that they used to do, now they can't. They feel rotten inside. And you feel dirty. You come home and you start crying. Why do I feel like this? I can't believe this is happening to me. Why can't I have fun like I used to? Why? Because the Spirit of God is within you. And he's saying that doesn't glorify the Father, but I'll give you something better. I'll give you something better, praise God. We're not led by head knowledge or imagination or emotions. We have to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8, 14, it says, those, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. How many sons and daughters of God in the room today? 1 Corinthians 6, 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hallelujah. That's like a marriage, like a family. You enter into the bond, into the family of God. You're one spirit with the Lord. We hear words in the body of Christ like inner witness, like promptings and nudgings and leadings. Some people use the word a quickening or the word unction. These are all accurate. There's nothing wrong with those words. These are like instructions or directions. It's something similar to this, like a go light or a stop sign. When the Lord begins to put in your spirit these words and these directions, you begin to respond accordingly. I've heard of stories and things where people have heard from the Lord and the Holy Spirit will say, don't get on that plane today. And then all of a sudden, the plane has an engine problem or it turned on fire in midair or something like that. You hear stories like that all the time. Don't get into that vehicle. Don't get into that bus. Don't go into that Uber. That guy might try to rape you or that guy is going to do something, try to steal something from you. Don't go. Or he'll say, stop what you're doing right now and pray for so-and-so. The vision, the picture comes in your mind. Or go and tell this person that Jesus loves them. Oh, God, but that's foolish. They know Jesus. No, tell them. I'm sending you there to tell them. Amen. Then you go to them. Hey, I know this is going to sound weird, but the Lord just sent me to you to tell you that he loves you. Jesus loves you. You don't know. I was just going to drive to the Tappan Zee Bridge and jump off the bridge because nobody loves me. And I prayed, God, if you really love me, I won't jump. But you need to send somebody to tell me you love me or I'm jumping. That's the Spirit. Sometimes God will say, quit that job. I got something better for you. Move to this city. Help in this ministry. Serve here. Serve there. Ooh, here's a big one. This one, people struggle with this. I want you to sow financial seed on this particular fertile ground. Satan, get thee behind me. I've heard of stories where people did not go to work on 9/11 and they worked in the Trade Center, the World Trade Center. People that said, I'm not going today. I don't know why. I just don't feel like going to work. I'm calling out. Or some people were late. And they just didn't realize what happened. I'm late. I'm an hour late. And they were spared from the terror attacks that day. That's right. We had a former girl that used to visit us all the time, a very active visitor in our church. She used to drive to Metro North to the city every day. And there was one day she woke up and the Lord said, don't get on the train. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this is weird. I never heard this before. I'm new in the faith. I don't know what this is. And don't get on the train. Don't get on the train. Don't get on over and over. And you want to know something? That was the day, you remember the news, when the Metro North Railroad collapsed and there were like, I don't know, 10, 11 people that died and a lot of people were injured. She was going to be on that train. That was her train. You see, people, when you have a relationship with God, your life now becomes supernatural. Everybody's always interested in the Marvel comic hero, superhero movies. You're a superhero in the spirit realm when you follow the promptings, the unctions, the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's scriptural facts to back this up. Listen to this verse. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's got to say, no, 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 don't go there. That's not for you. And your job is to simply obey, not to question. Let peace, the peace of God that rules your heart, let it be your umpire. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Man, this is such a golden nugget for 1,000% of the Christian, the body of Christ. If you would allow the Spirit of God, by the peace of God, to rule your heart in decision making, man, you would make so many less mistakes. So often we're like, I wonder if this is the leading of the Lord. I wonder if your heart doesn't have peace. Then that's the sign of God. Don't do it. Don't hook up with that young man. Even if he's beautiful. If he's so cute. Oh, my God, but he's so cute. Oh, my God, look at those muscles. Oh, my God, oh, my God. Yeah. And he could be the very thing that destroys your life. And you'll have to work double hard so he can stay home and eat Cheerios and live in his drawers. And live with mommy and daddy. And play video games all day long. And you buy the games. Can't even buy his own Pac-Man game. Get it together. Praise God. It's just like people, right? When I used to smoke. Yeah, years ago, I used to smoke cigarettes. And then I quit for like a year and joined up again 2 years more and quit again. I said, God, save me from my own stupidity. But one thing I hated when I used to smoke cigarettes is when I would pull out a cigarette and everybody, yo, can I get a cigarette? Yo, buy your own cigarettes, bro. Let me get a Lucy. Yo, you need to quit. You can't buy your support your own habit. You want to take part of my terrible habit? You're laughing because some of you know it's true. Hallelujah. Let the peace of God rule your heart. You know, when the umpire goes, safe. Look at this play. I thought this picture was awesome. He's right there. Look at his eyeballs. He even got glasses on. Look right there. There's a little inch of a gap right there. And he goes, safe. He made it safe to home plate. Let the peace of God.
Thank you.
Whoosh, say safe.
Thank you,
Lord. It's safe for you to proceed. Or it's not safe for you to proceed. In other words, if peace is there, then God is in it. If there is no peace, God is not in it. Praise God. Number two, the Holy Spirit speaks through visions, dreams, and prophecies. And I'm going to say this because it has to be said. All of these dreams, visions, prophecies are all divinely connected to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you the scripture to back it up. Bam! Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. For those that believe in cessationism, that verse destroys cessationism. God is still prophesying. God is still giving old men dreams. God is still giving young men visions. Why? Because young men can still accomplish the vision. And your men servants and maid servants, he's going to pour out his spirit. This means your daughters, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Because so many people think, oh, the Lord is not giving prophetic word. No, read the word. It's there. I just read it to you. Now, let me break these down as quickly as I can as the time moves. Number one, dreams. Dreams are scriptural. Sometimes dreams are called night visions, but they're still dreams.
That's right.
Sometimes God will speak to people through a dream, and then he's also going to have us interpret the dream to understand the dream. What good would it be for God to give you a dream and not have an interpretation to understand the dream? Would that not make any sense at all? Daniel interpreted dreams to King Nebuchadnezzar. Joseph interpreted dreams to the baker and the king's cupbearer and to Pharaoh himself. Dream interpretation is part of the gifts of the Spirit of the living God. I tell you the truth. If you happen to get a dream, you know, listen, you know when you have a dream of God and you know when it was just some spicy pizza you had last night. There's a difference. Because when you have a dream and it's all over the place and it doesn't make any sense, you know that's not something God gave. But there are times you wake up and you got a cold sweat, or you wake up and your heart is palpitating. Yeah. You wake up and immediately you want to start praying. You know that God has spoken to you. Here's what I suggest you do. Immediately, before you call up Junebug, before you call Papa, and before you call Pookie, you have to tell them your dream. You pick up a pen and get the closest journal and you start writing the details of the dream. Write it down on paper. Put it on paper immediately. And don't be lazy and leave out details. Write about the car. Write about the colors. Write about the numbers. Write about the time of day. Write about where you were. If there was a bed involved, a mattress involved, if there was tires on the road, if there was a flat tire, if there were people, whatever the details are, write them all down, because they all mean something symbolically. And God may be giving you a set of instructions. And sometimes he's been trying to reach you through the word, but you ain't reading the word. Or sometimes he tried to reach you through another brother, but you ain't trying to hear nobody. Sometimes he's trying to reach you and you're not picking up the signal. So God will speak to you in a dream.
Amen.
God is speaking, and write it down and then pray. Lord, I receive what you have. I ask you to give me an interpretation. And God will begin to give you uploads. I've had dreams where the actual dream is step by step by step by step according to the word of God. A scripture right in line with the word. And that's how you know God is speaking through that dream. Write it down. The next thing, and again, I'm going quickly. I apologize. Visions and dreams, right? Let me talk about visions. There's open visions and there's closed visions. An open vision is when you receive a vision of the Lord while your eyes are still open. That means God will give you something. My wife says she sees sometimes like a marquee, a scrolling marquee, or she might see a picture or an image in her mind. And even though your eyes are open, you could be talking to somebody and they're like this. And all of a sudden, poof. The Lord begins to show you, and now you know, boom, now you know what to pray for. Now you say, oh, you're struggling with a back issue, right? Let me put my head in the name of, right? That's coming from the Lord. It's an open vision, right? I had an example of an open vision when I had a heart condition. I was literally driving in my car from Montefiore Hospital, and as I'm driving, I'm you know, the enemy is trying to come against me and make me feel all depressed and discouraged because they were talking about putting a defibrillator in my chest, and if I didn't do it, I was going to die. I wouldn't make it to 30 years old. I'm 56, man. I'm so blessed. I got to lose weight. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Blessed, man. I got the favor of God. I got 9 grandbabies. My wife still loves me. Praise God. I'm blessed. I got no need for nothing. Praise God. I have beautiful people. I'm surrounded by the best people in the world. Hallelujah. But on my way home, the devil was trying to scare me, and God gave me an open vision as I'm driving on the Sawmill River Parkway. And he says, this is what I want you to do. And that's where he showed me standing in front of the church and reading James chapter 5. And I read it. That day I went to church, I read it, and I received my healing because of that vision. Amen. That's an open vision. That's just an example. The closed vision is when you receive a vision from the Lord when your eyes are closed. Sometimes, in most cases, you're in prayer or you're in worship or you may be meditating on the word of God, and then God begins to reveal his message to you, his word, through a closed vision. I had another experience of a closed vision. When I was a young man, this was one of the most profound experiences of my life. But I remember back then I was on the floor kneeling down. Papa wasn't here. I didn't have a belly. My wife calls my belly Papa. But Papa wasn't there. I had a washboard stomach. Praise God. And I remember I was sitting down on my bed. I had just spent like an hour and a half reading the Word of God. Then I prayed for a little while, and I began to pray. I put my hands on my knees. I can't do that now. Hallelujah. But I put my hands on my knees, and I was just leaning in. And I said, I wonder how it's going to be in the rapture. I wonder how God is going. And I'm beginning to meditate on the rapture, how powerful. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there on the floor, my eyes are closed, I feel a stirring up, something like attached to my chest. And as I'm there, all of a sudden, it felt like a rope had just grabbed me and went, psh, and right there where I was, I felt this tug, boom, I went right through the roof. I went right up, and I was going so fast like this, shh, pulled like this. Pulled up like that. I couldn't even move because the G-force was so strong. And I remember going like this, looking at the corner like this, and I could see the earth get small, like a little marble, like that, a little ball. And I'm seeing little lights from all over the globe. We stop. Boom, we stop. And I'm in the clouds, and it's dark like space all around. But I'm seeing glowing people. And I know there's young people, old people. We weren't all 30 years old. I remember this distinctly like it was yesterday. That's how you know it's of the Lord. There was an old lady. She looked at me. She had to be 80-something years old. And I looked at her. We looked at each other. And we said, hallelujah! We screamed to the top of our. We all knew we made it. We were raptured. And it was thousands and thousands of lights just popping up. Bam, 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 bam. And we're all going, ah! All of a sudden, we see these big, giant hands with the rope, and the hands were made of fire. Hey. And they just really close, just started to come near us like a hug, like a hug. And we're all here just floating around. We're looking at this, and we're all screaming. The praise was like an eruption. Ah! We were all screaming. All of a sudden, the hands come like this. Boom! And all I could hear was lightning. Thunder, boom, thunder, boom, right? And he went to carry us, like to take us somewhere. And I remember then coming to, and I couldn't even breathe. My physical body was toast. I felt like I fell off a second floor building, and you hit the ground, and your lungs feel like they explode, you know? I felt like that. And I turned to my knees, and I started going, to like fill up my lungs again with air. I felt like I had fallen. And I knew that the presence of God had literally taken me somewhere where I never thought I would be. It was a power. That's a closed vision. It was so real. I'll never forget it. I wrote it down, the date, the time, everything. It's in my journal.
Thank you, Lord.
But God speaks to his people. There are many other ways. The other way, prophetically. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord.
This is where it gets a little crazy. Just stay with me. Acts 16:9-10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, when God gives you the word, the prophetic, you have to respond. You got to obey that. You don't have to ask, I need a confirmation. Just go. This means when God speaks to you prophetically, it's a direct word from God. It's a direct word of instruction. Let me give you another example. Acts chapter 10, 9 through 16. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And the voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Oh, my God. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Really? And the voice spoke to him again in the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Listen, when God speaks, you don't question it. You just follow. You obey. Amen. And you do. Praise God. Oftentimes, God will use a prophet of God who's going to speak to you a word from the Lord. I want you to listen to me carefully. What I'm about to say is going to ruffle some feathers, but it needs to be said in the presence of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. That does not mean accept every prophetic word that is spoken in your life. It's crystal clear. It says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Don't just accept it because someone who claims to be the prophet of God speaks a word to your life and you hold it as the word of the living God. Why? Because 1 John 4:1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I've been a pastor now going on 16 years. And before that, I've served the Lord over 20-something years of my life. I have received many people coming up to me and giving me many prophetic words of the Lord. I can tell you that a vast majority of them have been spot on accurate. But there were quite a few others that were not. Never in my life have I immediately refused the word. Even if at first I said, this is not of my Father. This does not sound like the voice of the Lord. Immediately, I would not refuse it. But I would immediately go before the Lord in prayer and seek the face of God. That is the first thing you should do. And I ask God to confirm his word. Is this really you? I'm not sensing that. I'm not feeling that. I'm not understanding it because it's not in line with your word. And I go to the Lord and pray and ask him, reveal it to me. And if it isn't, I don't just stop there. I need you to hear what I'm saying. I don't just stop and let the person think that they prophetically gave me a word and it was accurate because I didn't say nothing. No, I go back to the person and I tell the person, I'm so sorry, but I must inform you that I am rejecting and renouncing that word that you gave me and spoke over my life. I don't receive it. It did not come from the Father. It came from a place of flesh or somewhere else, but it didn't come from the Lord. I reject the word, but I still love you. I'm prepared to lose a friendship. I'm prepared to have people angry with me. I don't care. I know it sounds callous, but I'd rather be in right standing before God than to accept something and receive it in my life where it changes the course and direction of my whole life and my wife and my children and my grandchildren over some false prophet who declares to speak the word of God in my life and God did not say it. Prophets of old, if they spoke a word and the word did not come to pass, they were put to death. A prophetic word that comes from a prophet of God who is literally tapped into the Spirit is going to many ways, in many cases, be a confirmation of what God is already speaking to your heart. It serves to confirm what God has already planted in your spirit in times of prayer. Sometimes the prophet of God will speak to you and give you a whole new set of instruction. And your spirit immediately bears witness to it. Do you know why? Because you might have been praying, God, I'm seeking your face on a new direction. Lord, I know you're calling me to something. I know you're calling me. Lord, reveal yourself to me. And all of a sudden the prophet of God comes and the Lord says, listen. That's where you're headed. That's what I have you to do. And you get a confirmation in your spirit. But again, it's something that you've already been waiting for with expectation. Oftentimes, a prophetic word of rebuke or correction, it does happen, but it's very rare. But when it happens, it's always in private. God is not going to blast you publicly in front of the whole congregation and blast you. That's not what God does. That's what religion does. That's what legalism does. I was called to the front of my church one time because I had a mullet.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, it's true. I keep calling it my lion's mane, but my wife said, no, bro, that was a mullet, kid. Yeah, 80s. But I remember I was the youth president, and some religious dude called me out here, brother, I want you to come to the front. And I said, oh, okay, maybe he's going to pray for me. I went to the front. He goes, God does not want you with long hair. You need to shave that off in the presence of the Lord. And thank God, my pastor was a man of God. Thank God, my pastor said, brother, you're out of order. That's foolish. It's ignorant and it's not of God. Go sit down. Albert, don't receive that word. That was not of the Lord. That was flesh. Do you know that 2 weeks later, that dude got a divorce from his wife? Not a divorce, but his wife had an affair and all kinds of stuff happened. Within a year, they were divorced and he left the church and never came back to church. There are a lot of people that want some spiritual notoriety. Ooh, if I could say this and pick on the little one, God said, touch not my little ones. Better for you to tie a milestone and throw yourself in the ocean than to cause one of my little ones to go astray. Imagine if I accepted that word. Me, at that time, knowing I'd be crew cut. I'd be bald with a flat head. That's why I could never have a baldy bean like my brothers. Because I have my head is whack. That's why I got my Alberto VO5 dude. Praise God. I'll be fine with salt and pepper, but at least I got hair, kid. Hallelujah. Thank God. If my hair fell off, I'd be flatboard like that. People want to say, yo, can I do some graffiti on your head? Because they'll look like a wall. Listen, when someone gives you a prophetic word, here's some things to examine. Number one, does the word glorify Jesus? Number two, is it in agreement with God's word? Number three, is it consistent with the character and the nature of God? If it is, then hold on to what is good and let go of what is not good. That means eat the fish and spit out the bones. Praise God. It's 1 o'clock and I'm only halfway through. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to end this message right here. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this for the very first time in my life. I am not going to finish the message. Hallelujah. I think we're good. We're going to get 3, 4, 5, and 6 next week. Amen. Praise God. I just sense that by the Spirit. I got to be obedient. Amen. I think we got more today than I think we needed. I think we got enough. And let's let the Lord let that resonate in our spirit. Let's bow our heads.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.